See, this all started because I was trying to accommodate one of my supervisees.
Oh.
And I successfully did that, but at the cost of Richard, apparently. But I moved this coding team meeting because Richard had said that it would work. Then he said, effective immediately, he was resigning. And so I tried to get him back, but apparently, and I said, I'm not going to switch today's meeting. But next week I would try to switch, and he's going to listen to this podcast, but you can't move your Thursday group. So
tell him to kiss that application to post goodbye.
Oh. Are you recording?
Yes, and actually in his email message he said that he's going to be applying here. So Richard, you didn't make friends with Chris apparently, but
just kidding, Richard.
But apparently Dustin has a group now that meets on Thursday, so he can't move back, and he has seniority. So.
Oh, you work Tuesday night.
Sorry, Richard.
Wah, wah, wah. So, right, I will email Richard separately and convey this all to him so he doesn't have to listen to the podcast. But so that's what's going on. So Wednesdays at 6.
Sports.
All right. So that means we're out 20 per week.
I can pick up a little more.
I was going to say that means I'm up.
I mean, it's not that bad. I mean,
yeah, I can pick up more. That's fine.
I mean, if every team just picks up like 4, wouldn't that equal the 20?
Of course, you're assuming that everyone's going to be reliable, and
that's,
you know, 25, you're not taking a risk, and so
come
it depends.
On, we were at like 0.91 for.
Well, this is a little different. RF.
But they have a nice, much more detailed per coding rubric. So.
What?
I mean, the, you know, like how to distinguish between the two.
Oh, you mean in the coding, in the manual?
In the actual manual.
Well, here's the problem, though. You're correct that the coding manual is very detailed, and I hope everyone has reviewed it and understands it, at least to some extent. But, on the other hand, the coding manual was designed for coding the AAI, not for coding the ORI. So that's the problem. Now, you were going to work on Vermonte. Did he get back to you yet?
No, he had emailed me Saturday, but when he had emailed, he had said all his text was in Dutch. Yeah, so because he's over.
He emailed you in Dutch?
No, he emailed me in English, but he was saying the actual
is in Dutch.
For doing it is in Dutch. So he was going to try and find an English version to see if, you know, there was even any English manuals.
I would guess not, because we're the only people doing this in the world right now. So
at least in this hemisphere.
At least in this hemisphere, yes. If we're not in Amsterdam, we're not doing it. So, all right.
Did he have an actual detailed manual for scoring ORI responses?
The protocol he would have trained on. I don't even know if he speaks English or not, because it took a while for him to, you know, email back to me. It was like 5 days.
Was the English like broken?
But I mean, it was English, but it was very, it was just brief. Dear Christopher, I will look if we have some text in English and send it soon. Most of the material is in Dutch. Thank you for your interest. Best wishes.
Well, that sounded pretty coherent.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Because what I was wondering is almost if they took all three of them together as the narrative to get the one score, because in his, because I know, like, at the upper levels, you need multiple examples of a 7 to get a 9 throughout the transcripts, but in his actual study, he doesn't give for any of them a mother, father, self. There's just one average global scale for each, so there's just one DR total score. You know, so he just reports one score on each. Like, he doesn't...
One DR?
Or one RF. score.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the RF score. It's just the, you know, like, he just has a... So
right,
he doesn't really say if it's an averaged or if it's just he did...
Right,
like,
okay, so what I do have... Now, we don't have that, but what I do have is just a brief series of modifications that two authors, Carlson and Kermit, they're in Northern California, used when they applied the RF coding manual to psychotherapy transcripts. And I'll pass, I made copies for everybody, I'll pass these around. I think the most important modification is number four. They relied on the highest rating from each psychotherapy session, and we can rely on the highest rating in the narratives for each object. So the modification was deemed necessary to reduce error variance because the rules in the manual that stipulate how to aggregate RF scores into an overall score were difficult to apply for psychotherapy sessions. And I would imagine they're similarly difficult to apply for these kinds of open-ended narratives. So so let's go with the highest rating unless Vermonte suggests otherwise. And I think that should work. So the high note is what we're...
So does that mean we're distributing mother, father, self together for each participant?
No,
or we're not.
Separate again.
Oh, they're doing separate again.
Yeah, I'm just talking about within each response,
okay,
each open-ended response. There's going to be varied quality
right.
of RF. So for the score for that particular response, it will be the highest.
So similar to the DR kind of?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And then transcripts in which patients did not present narratives or self-other interactions received a rating of 1 absent RF. So that, for example, angry would automatically be given a 1. There's no reflective function there. So I'm just going to pass these out. Take one, pass it down.
You said when there's no interaction, that would be a 1?
Well, did not present narratives or on self-other interactions.
Okay.
So, I'm feeling angry with myself today. That's not an interaction
right.
with another person, but it's an interaction with yourself, and that would be scorable. But something that's not really scorable, just angry,
mm-hmm.
that's automatically a 1.
Monster.
1. There has to be some kind of mentalizing going on. In other words, the person has to be able to understand another person's behavior or intentionality based on mental states, feelings, thoughts, intentions, beliefs, desires, motivations. So the interpreting of that is very important for RF. And we'll talk about different kinds of RF today. Of course, everyone gets just 1 score, but there are different kinds of RF that we need to talk about. But I thought maybe we could finish your presentation. Do you remember which slide you finished
we
on?
We had just finished why it's important, but we hadn't gone into the actual scores yet, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we had gone into any detail.
Yeah, no, you just said the overview. You
yeah.
Go, we just turned to the slide and then
yep.
we stopped.
Okay.
So we just had gone to the overview.
All right, so... I don't remember whether we used my laptop or...
We hadn't used yours because I had sent it during the afternoon, so you hadn't had it uploaded yet.
You should have it now, right?
I should.
You just hadn't opened up your email.
Okay.
When we had started, or you weren't connected to the internet. But
yeah, I was already up and running.
Email.
All right. That means first I have to connect, which is always a task.
Marie, are you connected?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be easier for you to bring up?
Would
you
know?
Let me give it a chance.
Work with Max, though?
Oh, I don't think.
No, we have a different Vega.
I mean, I have it on here. We could pull it up and maybe just share, or... Oh, really?
Internship, yeah, because it just has like a very slim.
Yeah,
it doesn't
special.
Have a magnetized little thing. I'm like, I'm not spending $50 on a cord, you know, that I can't use for anything else because I don't have a projector at home. So efficient in some ways, yeah, some different moments.
Okay, this might work.
But if everybody has smartphones and Bluetooth capability, we connected to the computer and then I sent it that way and so everybody had their... Yeah, you could do like a slideshow on your phone. It found everybody's Bluetooths and I connected to their phones and then we sent it that way. Because two of us had that, you know, so...
When was that?
At Mercy First.
Oh.
Presentation. Just because we turned the laptop around so the people at this half of the table could see it, but those of us at the end.
So that was April 28th. Is that right? I think so. So for those of you at the party last week, maybe you could share with the others how that went. Chris, Giacomo, Melissa.
I saw some of the video clips on Facebook. Pam posted like the tributes to the students.
Oh yeah.
Like the Saul Ra or. That was, you know, like just the little ones.
Oh, she put a video on?
Yeah, apparently somebody was taping them. So then they're like.
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, it's weird. Why is it that people don't come to the dinner when they're on the internship? They're not done, right? Are they supposed to not come?
No, I was... it's such a pain in the ass to drive
too much.
Out there. Yeah. Honestly, if it was, like, closer, I would have gone, but to drive, like, all the way out, it would be over, like, an hour from Huntington to get all the way out there.
Right, so. I mean, like, nobody goes, like, no one ever goes after fourth year. I was thinking about, like, hey, wait, I mean, they're not done yet. Come on, they're almost done. Done now, I guess.
Those bastards.
But, I'm Kobe'd out. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah.
We have two of them.
Like six, if you count the Christmas ones. So.
Oh, right.
I'm just thinking, I'm not ready to do this next year already.
You'll probably be tapped to write it.
What?
You'll probably be tapped to write it.
Yeah, it seems too soon. I mean, I just want to do it after my fourth year. Then do.
After your fourth year, everybody's dispersed.
Yeah, but they did skits. The faculty did a skit where it was like they wanted Eva's breakfasts, and they were all pretending to be the students except for Eva. And Eva had like a walker, and she was like pretending to be really old.
And a white wig.
And all the faculty, yeah. And the faculty were all, like, being students and, like, making fun of themselves, basically. Dr. Goodman always, I forget what they said about you, but you were someone who was, like, complaining about you. You know what I mean, right? I'm doing a terrible job.
Each faculty was complaining about themselves in the guise of being a student.
Right. So what was your self-complaint?
My self-complaint, why do I always carry on my laser pointer? Is that evidence of a secure attachment or castration anxiety? Bum-bum-tsh.
Yeah.
Did Danielle complain that her lectures were just too perfect?
Oh!
She's just so engaging. I just look at her and I can't, you know, concentrate or study. She's such a disaster.
Well, she did say her complaint was that Danielle's too intimidating. I do remember that. But.
The girl who played her was like fantastic, though.
Yeah. It really looked like a mini Knafo.
It was you played Knafo, right?
No.
Oh, you were
Jessica did.
No, you were supposed to.
I was supposed to.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Jessica wanted to.
I was so jealous. I'm a much better Knafo.
The role of a lifetime.
Who did you play?
Eva. But.
Sylvia was Knafo.
Yeah.
Jessica did good though.
Yeah, Jessica probably did better than I would, but it's just an easier, you know, because it's just so, you can't really mess it up. As long as you go overboard. But
she could be like, oh, it's so hot in here. Should I
take I don't have anything that I can, you know, like.
Thanks.
All right, so take two of the PowerPoint presentation of a lifetime.
Version 5.
Is that where we left off?
Yes.
All right, so take it away.
Okay. So, the score of negative 1, or a negative RF, would be described as an anti-reflective response, which expresses hostility or active evasion in response to an opportunity for reflection. So then these would be scores of negative 1 or 0. In the manual, it gives like a little bit of a description of what a zero would be. We probably wouldn't have too many of those because it was more of like an inquiry based, like if they refused to answer the question, and then you could at least prompt a little bit of information and it wasn't quite so hostile. So it was almost like taking the one and the negative one and putting them together and you got a zero. Like they still had no reflective capacity like noticed, but it was,
I think,
a little less
like
hostile.
The telepathic wind, we could count that as a negative.
Yeah, so these scores must be distinctly anti-reflective or bizarre or inappropriate. So I guess just from, you know, what we've been going through already, I thought maybe that I choose not to answer this question. You know, they're actively not being reflective and evasive, since obviously we're not meeting them in person. We can't really, you know, unless they say, fuck you, I'm not answering this question. We're not going to get too much at the hostility, but more of just the, you know, active evasion.
So I choose not to answer this, or just say negative 1 or 0?
Negative 1. Like, the 0 would be if they get, like, just if they had initially refused, and then, you know, like, later on with prompting, like, in person, they gave something, but it really wasn't very profound either. Then you could just bump it up a little bit because the refusal was no longer there.
What do you mean 0? On the previous slide, there's no 0, so
there, it's similar to the first scale where there are subscales kind of between. So, like, if you had gotten this answer and you were in person giving an inquiry, and then, you know, they just gave you a blah answer after that, you could just give them a 0.
So it's not,
we won't be using
in between,
yeah. We won't be using the 0 at all. It'll either be the negative 1 or the 1 for us. So the next one would be 1, which would be absent but not repudiated RF. So this rating would be given to subjects when the subjects don't mention any mental states at all in spite of the opportunity to do so.
And we're going to assume that by administering this task, everybody's getting the opportunity.
Right.
All right, so there's this idea of having an opportunity to do so is directly relevant to the AAI. So we're going to assume that everybody has equal opportunity to be reflective. And so if they're not, that means it's absent by definition.
So there are two types of responses that can fit into this category. The responses may be sociological, overly concrete, or excessively generalized. Or they can be overwhelmingly egocentric. So for the first example I put up there is like the disowned type, that I don't know, I really can't say. So in this case, it's almost like it may not be that they have no RF, but they're so uncomfortable with it that they kind of, you know, are just disowning it, so they're just not really answering the question. So I think we had a couple maybe of like vague responses like that, where we had like in Alaska, I got the sense of also kind of like an overwhelming lostness with the question. And the second type is the concrete or the lacking in internal states, but they can be relatively complex answers. Like the one that I was in the manual was, I think life was hard for mom. I mean,
now just pretend that this was a response for the mom, like describe your mother, and this is what you get. This is a 1.
I think life was hard for mom. I mean, making a living and raising kids is a lot of work. It was a struggle. So they've described a lot of nice like behaviors and some sociological conditions where it was a struggle. I mean, some of them, you know, where it made reference to even, you know, in ours, like the Great Depression or something like that. Like, that was the time frame, but you get no sense of mom having a brain, you know, with some thoughts, some feelings. There's no kind of internal life for her.
What's on mom's mind? Do you have any sense at all what's on this mother's mind? Zero. So it gets a one.
So, I mean, it can be a nice, long answer where you think, you know, they're giving like, a lot of information in it. But, you know, if you're going through and you're really not getting any beliefs, desires, thoughts, feel, you know, then it would still be a one in that case. Or if you ask about mom and you get an overwhelmingly egocentric and it's like a me, I think we only had one of those at all, if I remember from the very first scale. But if, you know, mom's not even in the picture at all, then, you know, they're using it to talk about themselves, that could also be
describe your mother. I'm a wonderful person. I enjoy my life and my job. It's not about them. All right, so that should be locked into people's brains.
So just no internal states whatsoever. Three would be questionable or low RF.
There's
not
two. No.
There might be a. Is there a two clause in there someplace?
I don't think they actually. There's no anchor point.
There's no anchor point. I'm looking at the full descriptions.
Okay.
One through.
So three would be questionable or low RF. We'll have a lot of these. So this rating is given to the quite common passages where the rater is uncertain if the response represents genuine reflective functioning or just a canned statement. There's an absence of material to support the responses, so they're superficial statements. So she was a nice person. She was a caring person. She was a loving person, but they don't elaborate on, you know.
So there's some trait that's identified. But that's it.
No, if there does it matter if there's like a greater quantity of that, you know what I'm saying? Like rather she's a caring person, so she's caring,
no.
Responsible, loving.
No.
So that's just okay.
So I mean it would be similar like when you took us through the exercise 2 weeks ago. You know, think of five adjectives that describe the relationship.
Right.
That would be the three. Now give me some, you know, concrete examples of what they were. And that would be, you know, being able to give specifics, like what would get into the higher scores.
All right. And if we have time today, I'll go over, like, specific responses that would yield higher scores. There are four different categories, and I'll get into that.
Five is the definite or ordinary RF. Passages rated five must have a feature which makes reflection explicit. The statement does not need to be sophisticated, just explicit. So, my mother had the habit of hitting me when I was naughty or when she thought I was naughty. So, it's the thought that makes it explicit. I mean, that's the only reference to the internal state. It's still very generalized. It's not a specific example. You know, this could have been any night at whenever, but that he was being bad. But, you know, he at least identified that, you know, she could have thought he was naughty.
So what about those ones that would, we had a lot of them that would say, she values this? Would that be?
Like, I think that would probably
like
be.
Like, she values hard work, or she values family, or family is important to her.
I would say, like, that would be
that
like a five.
Yeah.
That might be a four.
Yeah, like between the two.
It's so canned. I mean, what
yeah.
makes this, what makes this response RF is that this guy or woman, whoever it is saying, okay, I wasn't necessarily naughty,
mm-hmm.
but my mother thought that I was naughty. She interpreted my behavior
okay.
as naughty. I may not have been, but she thought I was. So there's a distinction between what the mother's thinking and what I might have been doing, and she might have been misinterpreting my behavior. You see how that's higher level than she's a caring person.
Mm-hmm. And
there's
then,
more
and rather than she values family or...
Right. I mean, she values families more, I think, low RF. But this means that my mother sometimes misinterpreted my behavior and assumed I was naughty when I really wasn't. That's a more complex thought. It suggests that the other person, the mother, could have beliefs, desires, opinions that may not be congruent with reality. There might be some distance between reality and what you think about reality. So perception doesn't equal reality. That is ordinary RF. And presumably, we all think on that level. But we're going to run into people, we're going to encounter responses that don't go to this level of RF.
So 7 would be market RF. This response contains a sophisticated statement concerning mental states which fit the description of at least 2 of the categories indicative of higher RF.
And I'll talk about these categories later.
It combines several features of RF, such as awareness of limitations of knowledge of another's mental states, so that I can't read their mind.
Otherwise known as opaqueness of mental of other people's minds. You know what opaque is? You can't see through it. There's some awareness that the person can't read the other person's mind.
Let's see. As well as the indicating a recognition that individual perspectives on the same objective event may differ. And then these responses may be unusual or surprising to the rater. So they're going to have a little more of that personalized, less canned, maybe a little bit more sophistication to them, you know, unique to that individual and their relationship.
So, for example, let me just make an example up. So, my daughter had her 5th birthday party, and she was really enjoying herself, but I was feeling very sad inside because it reminded me of my 5th birthday party when my father died on that day. So there's a recognition that the daughter could have a very different experience of the same event as the father. So, understand that?
And 9, which is full or exceptional RFs, these are going to be very rare. They even say, you know, in the manual, this makes up 10% of, you know, all scores given. So it would be, you know, like a think twice about it. If, you know,
which I think is, I mean, the probably percentage is probably less than that. But
So the difference between a score of a 7 and a 9 is the degree of quality and quantity. So, the most common justification for an exceptional rating is the apparent awareness of the subject of important aspects of the mental states of all protagonists within an interaction, where the protagonists are placed in relation to one another in terms of feelings and beliefs, and these are sufficiently complex and elaborate. And it usually, I think there has to be multiple 7s within the 9, too. So, I mean, like, if you're saying, you know, oh, this is a 7 statement, this is a 7, you know, that might be indicative that maybe, you know, I should look to see if this is the 9, but they would have to have multiple kind of examples within. So this is also going to be a little bit longer of a passage or, you know, something much more concisely written.
And, I mean, you can see the parallels between this description and the rating of 10 on the DR scale,
which I think we had 1.
But they're very. It's when you get up to these higher levels, these rating systems are pretty similar, I think. But you want to be able to identify mental states of the person who's giving the response as well as the person whom they're supposedly describing. And the interactions between those mental states. That's what's really important for a 9.
I wonder why they don't just do 1 through 5 if you can't choose a number in between. Like 1 through
there
three,
is an 8 and a 4 and a 6, I think.
You can't score
I think
even
you
numbers?
Can. You can.
I think you can.
Yeah. I don't know, because there's the 0. I don't know if there's a 2 specifically between the 1 and the 3, because 1, you know, like from absent to something generic, but there are, like within the passages, there is an 8.
Oh, okay.
So if they didn't support the, you know, 9 enough, like they really elaborated on 1 7 statement, but there wasn't a 2nd 1, then that would be an 8, per se.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay, so like an 8. A rating of at least 7 should be given to a passage where mental states are placed within a causal sequence. By this we mean that the subject considers how the mental states arose, what the perceptions of reality, you know, lead to the belief or the desire assumed, how the mental states influence behavior, and what impact or implication the mental state has subsequent perceptions, beliefs, and desires.
What page is that?
Page 30. Oh, there is a 2 also.
Which paragraph were you reading from?
Page 30, it's the second paragraph, bullet number 4. It says the 7 or the 8 right there.
Have a different numeration. Did you print yours out from what I sent you? Or you got it from somewhere else?
Yeah, this is it right there.
Oh, okay.
So most likely.
Okay, I got it. So I think, like with Blatt's system, even numbers are reserved for situations where you can't really go with a, let's say, a 7 or a 5. It's ambiguous. So you end up going with an even number.
And I think, too, with the 9, since it's both quality and quantity, if they have, you know, one that you think is really above a 7, but there's just the 1 and the quantity's not there, or, you know, like this, you know, where they're able to do it multiple.
Oh, that was it. Okay, so let me go over these categories. Trying to get the lights. All right, so if you turn in your manuals, page 14. Everybody got it? So at the very bottom is illustrations of moderate to high RF. And then you go to page 15. There are 4 categories of moderate to high RF. They're labeled 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. So 4.1 is awareness of the nature of mental states. Okay, and there are different aspects of this awareness of the nature of mental states. When we talk about mental states, what are we talking about? We're talking about one's beliefs, desires, intentions, feelings, motivations, ways of looking at the world. Okay, that's a mental state. Mental state is not behavior. It's in the feeling and thinking realm. People who think and feel have mental states. The first aspect of the awareness of the nature of mental states is this opaque, this idea of opaqueness of mental states, that you can't read necessarily another person's mind. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I was picking on Richard that day, and I said, you know, Richard might be thinking something. Huh?
No, it could be. You were saying how stupid he was being, and I said,
oh, that's right. You were picking on Richard.
That sounds cool.
I drove him away.
So I said, you know, he's looking very studious, and Chris said he thought he was pretending, right?
He was actually Skyping.
He was Skyping when he should have been listening to me. So, see, we have two different points of view about how to view what was going on in Richard's mind. Mine was actually...
I wasn't serious, but look, I'm still here.
So, you know, Richard might have been Skyping, but he was pretending to be attentive. So I was looking at the surface, and Chris was looking under, he was looking at the underlying mental state. Now, I could say, well, his mental state's opaque. Neither one of us knows what was going on in Richard's mind, because only Richard knows what was going on in Richard's mind. An example of this, I thought, so this, pretend this is a mother statement, a mother response. I thought my mother felt resentful of us, but I'm not really sure if she felt that way herself. You got that? What makes that?
I'm not sure.
Not being sure. So this guy is saying, this is my perception of what my mother might have been thinking or feeling about me, but I'm not sure if that's what she was really thinking or feeling about me. This is only my perception. That's a reflective thought. That's what we're trying to code. So if we were to code, give that particular sentence a rating, what would we give it?
Five.
Why?
Because there's five next to it. because I mean that would be, they've given an example, it's not explicit, but you know, it's at least it's there. So they've kind of identified that there is some type of opaqueness, that there is right. At least it's their thought, you know.
So it's moderate RF. It's a standard RF statement. All right. Indications of opaqueness usually emerge through qualifiers such as perhaps or might, prefacing an explanation in terms of mental states. Even more convincingly, alternative mental states may be offered, with the implication that it's hard to know which one lay behind the behavior. So Richard might have been studious, or he might have been goofing off. We're not sure. Could be either one. We're not sure which one. That's opaqueness of mental states. Another example of the awareness of the nature of mental states are susceptible to disguise. So once again, Richard might have been disguising his attempts at communicating through Skype by looking studious. What?
I was just saying, okay.
All right. Here's a common example. I am so angry at her, but I would never show that to her. What would you give that? Wait, you guys see the... Okay, so everybody has their... That's a four. My mother always kept everything controlled and calm, but I think underneath she was off it. She often felt very angry. So there's a sense that...
Would that be the five?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no answer there, so I got that one on my own.
There you go. So the idea is that the person might be presenting one way, but underneath something else completely might be going on. And as therapists, we need to be able to read on multiple levels another person's intentionality, their mental states. Because they might want to be showing us one thing, but feeling something else. And we need to be able to intuit that. And that's part of what interpretation is. We interpret what a person might be feeling underneath the defensiveness. Right? Recognition of the limitations on insight. I had a lot of respect for my mother, although sometimes she infuriated me because she was a very anxious person, and she would get very uptight about things and sometimes get a little bit hysterical. I think she was very insecure in her relationship with my father, but I don't know if that was true. I don't know if that was true. There's limitations. I'm not sure. Just because I think it doesn't mean it really exists in reality. Again, my perception. You know, we're all in psychology, so that seems like pretty normal, but for people not in our field, that's not a trivial insight. The insight that my perception might be different from reality. I had a real go at her. These are all British. responses. But I think I was just frightened that she didn't care about me. Now that's actually a six. Mental states tied to expressions of appropriate normative judgments. So, an example of that is I started staying out at night and he became quite authoritarian, like fathers do, but I think all fathers get anxious about their daughters when they sort of start rebelling. So the idea all fathers get anxious is a normative judgment. So there's some awareness that my father was like this because this is how fathers typically
so
act.
That's a four, right?
Yes.
Because she kind of grouped him into the can dancer, but articulated that. It was
right.
A can dancer.
Right. It was understandable that my mother would feel jealous of me because of my close relationship with my father. The idea, it was understandable. Meaning most people would be able to understand that. Awareness of the defensive nature of certain mental states. So one mental state being able to protect another mental state. You tend to blank out things that make you unhappy sometimes. So there's an understanding of a defense, that defenses exist in people. So people understand the nature of the awareness, or the awareness of the nature of mental states. Okay, the second category is explicit effort to tease out mental states, underlying behavior. All right? So, the first example, that is accurate attributions of mental states of others. Mom would say, wait till your dad comes home, then he would wallop us. But, you know, I think he felt obliged to do that. Because he knew that she had to be with us all day, he felt he had to back her up. So the attribution of the mental state seems plausible. If it was bizarre, obviously it wouldn't get a score of a 6 or 7.
Would that statement that you just read be higher because of the connection to behavior?
Yeah.
So it would be like in 7 or 8?
6 or 7.
6 or 7.
The rater should be careful to give credit only for specific rather than generalized, commonsensical rather than theoretical attributions. The aim here is to distinguish genuine instances of mentalization derived from experience, from understanding derived from external sources such as self-help books. Well, I think my father did this because I read in his self-help book that he's supposed to spank his kids. There's no mentalizing going on there. It's adhering, it's appealing to an external authority for justification for behavior rather than appealing to the father's own mental states as reasons for why he behaved the way he did.
So my therapist told me that.
Exactly. I think we had one like that. My therapist said that my mother acted this way because
I don't know, I'm talking about one of my patients whose mother always told my therapist that.
Was that like a 3? Because it's questionable?
Well, the examples that we're currently giving, yes, but the example here would be a 6 or a 7, the one that I read.
Oh, okay.
Envisioning the possibility that feelings concerning a situation may be unrelated to observable aspects of it. So affect being inconsistent with an external situation. So I'm looking after my daughter for three weeks, and I'm finding it very hard, but I'm only finding it hard because I'm a bit unhappy with certain other aspects of my life at the moment, apropos my career. So the idea is that, you know, I'm frustrated with somebody, but it's because of something else going on in my life. It's not because of the person's behavior. Yeah, basically it's an expression of displacement. Recognition of diverse perspectives. So different people may perceive a given behavior or situation differently. So Chris and I perceived Richard's behavior differently. The underlying mental states differently. Of course, Chris might have been kidding. I don't know. But his mind is opaque, so I don't know what he was really thinking, whether he was kidding, about Richard or whether he was really serious. Often I don't know what Chris thinks. So people understand that one? My mother had the habit of lifting her hand and slapping us if we were naughty or when she thought that we were naughty. That's the one you...
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a 5. Taking into account one's own mental state in interpreting others' behavior. All right. So you might interpret a particular event, but it's colored by what you're thinking or feeling at the time. I saw him as behaving in an uncaring way, but actually I was very angry with him at the time because of the way he treated my mother. You hear the mental state there? So perhaps that's why. The next example of this idea of teasing out mental states on the wrong behavior, evaluating mental states from the point of view of their impact on behavior of self and or other. Speakers recognize the role their own mental states might have had on behaviors of self and others. Because I think perhaps I was insecure, a very demanding child that needed a lot of attention. I obviously upset her by being so demanding and crying whenever she went out. So it's taking some ownership or responsibility for the behavior of the mother and interpreting the mother's behavior based on one's own mental state. That I was a pain in the ass, basically. Taking into account how others perceive one. So awareness of how other people's perceptions of them are related to one's own actions and reactions. People always saw me as, so this would be like a self response, self-representation. People always saw me as somewhat haughty and full of pretensions, but really I just felt very insecure. I realize now that it put people's backs up. So looking back on one's past and seeing that people were put off by this person because they were insecure, but people misinterpret that as their being haughty, prideful. So that would be a 6 or a 7. Freshness of recall, thinking about mental states. It's the impression that someone's thinking spontaneously and vividly about people's thoughts and feelings. I still feel the same way about him dying. It was cruel and unfair for someone so young and with so much more to give to die. So I don't think my feelings have changed. But now, as I think about it, I realize that in fact I hardly ever think about him or his death these days. And I actually, well, probably resent it a bit when other people keep talking about him. That's 6.
That doesn't, I don't get a sense of the father's mental state though.
They're talking about
their own mental state.
Oh, their own mental state.
Yeah.
Right. So if you see some kind of aha moment in it, we didn't get many of those, I don't think.
No, just the one I gave. We gave the 10 on the DR where, you know, like they were trying to figure out what their mother was looking for, and then was like, oh, you know, and then like they had their epiphany moment.
Yeah. So that would count as a freshness of recall.
And there was that one where, like, I don't even know to this day what she wanted from us, but, oh, I think it was to succeed or something.
That's
like that.
The same, yeah.
Is that the one from that? Okay.
Yeah. So that's a freshness of recall, and that would count in this category.
Sorry. So it could be my own, like, if I was the writer writing about my father, it could be my mental state. And understand, it doesn't necessarily have to be understanding the father's mental state at the time. It could be understanding someone else's in the relationship's mental state. Or does it have to be specifically like if it's a father response about the father? Because I feel like sometimes other people are brought into it the same.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if somebody's just talking about themselves,
yeah,
and they're not even talking about the father, I think we agree that that's a 1.
Right. Yeah. But then I know. I can't think of any specific examples right now. So I'm just wondering if they bring up, like,
so you're talking
about,
talking
the mother
about mom
and
the
her
other
parents,
children. It's still in
so you mentioned the father, but the mental state is really attached or assigned to the self.
Or to, like, the brother or someone.
Well, if they're talking about father and brother's relationship, I
right,
think that would count.
I mean.
You know, like, this is why he liked him better, or,
okay.
You know, like, maybe brother was better suited for dad because he had these traits which dad found, you know, more
okay.
identifiable. I mean, I think, like, as long as it's connected to whoever it's supposed to be, like, within their type of... I mean, similar, like, when we had with, like, the relational one, like, some were just very generic and you didn't really get a sense, but then they were able to articulate mom had this great relationship with grandma.
Yeah, that's what I remember, though, is some with the mom, with her parents, not necessarily with the self, but it's her relationship with them, so that's okay, though.
As long as it's anchored to, you know, like, who it's supposed to be about.
Okay.
Otherwise, you defer to a one.
Right.
That's kind of the default. All right, so the third of the four categories is recognizing developmental aspects of mental states. All right, so this means acknowledging the influence of one generation upon the next, showing an understanding of how mental states of other people's change or self changes over time, appreciation of family dynamics, distinguishing between the thinking of a young child and an older person. So we had the same kind of concept in the DR scale, where there's
the temporality
of it, exactly. So relationships can change. Well, mental states can change over time. So you want to look for that temporality of mental states, the developmental continuum. So taking an intergenerational perspective, making links across generations, for example. My mother expected great things from her children because, as I've been saying, so much had been demanded of her by my grandparents, and at least in my mother's mind, I believe, so she's getting checks all over the place, right? She never lived up to those unrealistically high expectations, and so I hoped that we would. That's a five. This wouldn't count. What influenced my parents to be like that? That's actually a question from the AAI. All right. I think it was their parental upbringing. Do we hear anything about mental states? They referred to the previous generation, but anything about mental states? I think my grandmother, who brought up my mother with the aid of her mother, I mean, it goes back a long way, these mothers and daughters in our family. Have you heard anything about mental states so far? I'm sure my mother is the person she is because of the way she was brought up. Anything about mental states? That's just kind of like, you know, A impacts B and B impacts C. So A impacts C. There's no mind here so far.
On the AAI, it's so much, like a lot of talking that the person's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So... Doesn't that person like go in and out of different reflective functioning?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
So you
kind of finagle the score. You look at what's the most predominant score. There are two kinds of questions in the AI. There are permit questions and demand questions. And the permit questions permit a person to be reflective, but they don't demand it of the person. So you can score RF in those permit questions, but you have to score RF in the demand questions. These are questions like, do you think that your parents had any influence on your development?
Mm-hmm.
That's just begging for an RF response. And so if you don't get it, that's more meaningful. So if the scores on the, it's kind of complicated, but the scores on the demand questions count more heavily than the scores on the permit questions. So you kind of finagle an overall RF score, but you only get one score on the entire interview.
Right.
You don't get score for mother, father. It's one score for the interview. Okay. Here, it's different. You know, each subject in the study is going to be getting three separate scores, and we're going to be looking at how each of these scores relates to other aspects of the data set, but also we're going to have an aggregate score and see how that relates to Chris's and Giacomo's data. So
something like, for father response, he was the opposite of my mother, period. So he had a couple of ones where it was kind of just like the person...
That doesn't tell me anything about mental state.
Exactly, but would that be bizarre? Like, would that be...
No, I don't think it's bizarre, I just think it's absent. One.
He's not angry, though. It's not
like... I like popcorn, too.
Well,
but if he had just said, you know, because the person is writing three in a row, so they're assuming that we are looking at all three answers. So if they said, like, oh, their mother was a saint, you know, wonderful, and then say, oh, my father's the opposite, it's like, we would code that as a one, but it would be kind of assuming that.
Yeah, I mean, just because the opposite of a saint could be multiple different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you didn't take the time. I mean, you could be a degenerate drunk, some type of sinner, you know, Satan himself, the people that collect taxes, I don't know, a Democrat.
Or you could be God. The opposite of the saint might be God, human versus God. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, and they just didn't even take the time to.
Right, but you know, that's why the mean score would even out some of those differences. Right. So, continuing on this example, I'm sure my mother is the person she is because of the way she was brought up. I'm sure my grandmother was the greatest influence on her. Well, how? Why? What made her an influence? What kind of mental states were involved? So that's a score of a 2. And I think that's probably generous. And if the subject had mentioned, as in the first example, that the grandmother was very ambitious for her daughter, and this explained to the subject her own mother's inclination to push her towards achievement, then the example would count. Then we're looking at 5 or higher. So you understand how this is starting to work?
What if we're reflecting on like things that are not like concrete people, like God thinking, reflecting on what God's thinking?
That's bizarre.
Yeah, we did have some like that.
Oh no, that was the thing you just gave us.
-1.
Yeah, even if, because like striving to be everything God wants me to be, -1.
Well, that's not bizarre, though.
That would be like a 3.
It's he knows what God wants him to be. I don't know. Like.
Well, I mean, that would just be like a generic, you know, questionable or low RF.
Okay.
I mean, 2 or 3, I would say.
We did have a few.
Davis said that the conceptualization of an attachment object was expanded beyond primary attachment figures in the first one,
right,
including other significant persons and patients in our lives. I don't know if that includes, you know, a religious aspect, but he said pets were not included.
We did, because we had a couple God ones. Where,
I mean, it depends on how they back it up, or, you know, like, if they're able to elaborate on why.
See, I know God's will for me suggests a lack of opaqueness.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can any of us here say that we know what God's thinking? If God does exist, do we know what God is thinking, or do we think we know?
I know Sunday.
So the idea, I know God's will for me, that doesn't evidence, there's no evidence of opaqueness there.
I read his mind through the television.
That's a -1. So it's 7:05. We've got 2 more pages to go before we finish the 4 categories. Do we want to wait till next week, or do you want
to
go through these?
I have to wait. Okay. Somewhere I have to go. I mean,
all right.
Everyone else, Chris could always just fill me in at work or something.
That's fine.
You can listen to the podcast.
I can. I'll put on my iPod while I jog.
Why not?
Jogging to RF.
You won't be the first person who's jogged to Jeff Goodman.
All right.
These are 4 categories, like as like a checklist, basically, for what we're looking for.
Exactly.
Not
in the moderate to high RF.
Okay. I think for like the 7, you need at least 2 different ones represented.
Correct.
Like for a 5, it could come from any.
Right. So let's say 5, you have to have 1. Of these, 7, you need 2.
So maybe if you
9, you'd need more than 2.
But so maybe if you had 2 of 1 in the same category, that would be the 6. If, you know, there was a little bit more there, but it was within just one domain.
Yeah, I mean, we could sort of make up our own rules a little bit here. Because we're the second team ever to apply this coding system to...
I'll send Vermont to my manual.
Exactly, why not? There would be a lot of clamor, I think.
The GKRF
conversion. In the psychoanalytic world for this. So I have no doubt that both your dissertations are going to be published.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to hire somebody.
And your career is just going to take off like lightning.
Why do you have to hire somebody?
I hate formatting in APA. It's the most tedious. It's not undoable, it's just so, like, normal people don't talk like that. Especially when it comes to the numbers, the values, and the parentheses around parentheses, and I mean, I just like...
You could probably hire somebody to do that. I mean, your dissertation is obviously going to have to be in APA format.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm doing it in APA format. Just reporting the results. I mean, it's just, you know, like, I'll write it, and then I'll have to go and convert it to. It's just tedious. I mean, just because there's so...
See, I think in that way, and so I write like that. Now.
I write text like that, but, like, reporting numbers like that, like, it's just...
Yeah.
How is the most concise way to say this so that it looks as confusing as possible on a page? Because that's how they do it.
All right. Taking a developmental perspective. So, awareness of developmental changes in mental states. When we were little, my father always seemed to have time for us, and we would have so much fun together. But then as we got older, he withdrew and had difficulty, I think, getting on with teenagers. So that's a 4. That's not quite a 5, but it's close. You see the developmental aspect there. Revising thoughts and feelings about childhood in light of understanding gained since childhood. So views of the world, feelings, and beliefs concerning the world change radically between childhood and adulthood. You want to see some awareness of that. It's only now in adulthood that I realized she was ill. When I was a child, I thought of her as either just not liking me much or as very withdrawn and shy. Now I can feel for her much more, and she does not make me sad or angry anymore. So there's some empathy there that results from growing up and seeing your grandmother in a different light, or mother, whoever. So that was a 6. Envisioning changes of mental states between past and present, present and future. Speakers considering developmental changes in their own mental states, change from childlike to adult ways of thinking. For example, now I just want him to be healthy and happy with what he has, but I know once he's born, I want him to be prime minister. Now that's referring to the last question, the AI, what do you want for your child? In this case, the person didn't have a child yet, but was projecting into the future child, what that child would look like. So I want him to be healthy and happy. But I know once he's born, so once I get to that stage where I actually am a father or mother, I'll want this child to be the you know, prime minister, president in Britain, so the highest office possible. So you get the idea of temporality there?
Isn't that Her Majesty?
Huh?
Isn't that Her Majesty the Queen?
Mm-mm. No, the prime minister is Brown.
No, I know, but I'm ranking the monarch. Oh. The Dowager Princess now, I guess they have. What's her name? She just got married.
Yes, Kate.
Kate. Catherine.
Yeah. Catherine. Envisioning transactional processes between parent and child. A full understanding of parent-child behavior is not possible without taking into consideration the impact of the child on the parent. I think not only did my mother hold on to me very tight, but I wrenched away very hard, and those two actions made it much more extreme than it might otherwise have been. That's a 5. Or, I think my shyness was upsetting and painful for her, and as a result, I irritated her. I think that's why she avoided me. That's a 6. Okay, so I'm shy, that was upsetting to my mom, and that upset led to her being irritated with me. So, and then what did she do with that irritation? She avoided me. Now, he could have said she avoided me because she didn't want to hurt me with her irritation, or she didn't want to damage me, or so that would have been even a further explication of mental states. So it can just go on ad infinitum. But that was a six. Understanding factors which developmentally determine affect regulation. All right. I saw that he, boy of four, just needed a bit of reassurance. He was being naughty to test his parents' love for him. So here's a kid who is acting out because he wanted to test whether his parents really loved him or not, because he wasn't sure. Does he love me? Does he not love me? I'm going to figure this out. The caregivers attempt to regulate, in this case, to reduce the infant's arousal. Awareness of the mental state of the baby and its helplessness vis-a-vis his own emotional state is considered an instance of reflective functioning. So another subcategory of number three is awareness of family dynamics, the awareness of the interdependence of mental states within family systems, seeing the family as an interdependent system where the mental states of the individual members interact and create attitudes and feelings which each individual member is affected by, includes a high level of reflection. These examples are rare. So, was anybody rejecting? Not really. It's funny. I remember both my parents as very loving, and I think they were. My sister and I got along extremely well. Yet, if you asked me to describe the family, I would say it was rather cold, somewhat rejecting. Somehow, perhaps because we tried not to show preferences, we all managed to make each other feel as if we liked somebody else more. So we all managed to feel a bit rejected and unloved. That's a seven. That's a major weak reflective functioning. So then the last category is mental states in relation to the interviewer. And I don't know that this is really going to apply very much. You got the acknowledging of separateness of minds between the interviewer and the respondent, not assuming not that the interviewer has knowledge. Now, that might be important. So the person writing these descriptions has to assume that the person reading them, i.e. all of you guys, didn't live with this kid throughout childhood and doesn't know anything about the family. So there has to be some kind of description in order for the coders to understand what the person's talking about. So that would be not assuming knowledge.
Personalization score on the Rorschach.
Yes, that's true.
Barbershop I go to.
I don't know what that means.
Right.
Go see Sal, he's great.
Exactly. Emotional attunement. It is important that the subject should manifest an internal model or a hypothesis as to why the interviewer may be upset, bored, irritated. That's not going to... Well, actually, I remember some responses. This might upset you, but my mother died under these circumstances. I think we had one or two of those, didn't we?
I must not have been upset, so I don't know.
Or,
yeah.
Like, talking to the person who's going to be reading the description.
I think there were one or two. I think one of those. You must be looking for this because of... Mm-hmm. Or,
so that would sort of count.
I don't know where you're getting at with this. Someone's over something. Like that.
That's very Freudian of you. I think there's one of those.
So, you know, some kind of reference to the investigators would count. So there's some awareness that there's another person actually who's going to be reading this and that they have minds of their own. That would count.
So like context, like understanding there's a context. Right?
Yes. But again, there has to be mental states involved. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get much in that fourth category. So you guys understand these four categories? Nature of mental states, right? The developmental links between mental states is the third one. The second one, missing the second one. Explicit effort to tease out mental states underlying behavior. Okay. And the relatedness to the interviewer, which I don't think we can have a lot of. So that's upper level RF, moderate and upper level RF. Maybe we could talk about lower level RF next week a little bit. And also, would you like to just go through the manual and pick out, let's say, 10 random statements that are marked and pass them around for next week? So we'll actually start doing some, a little bit of just very light training even as we continue the introduction to the manual. Are people good? I mean, tell me the truth. Is this starting to make sense?
Yeah. The manual is actually like, really helpful.
It is.
Part was really helpful when I read it.
Yeah, that what I just went through with you guys is like the meat of the manual. So if that makes sense, I think because most of the rest of them are going to be ones and threes, and I think you pretty much understand ones and threes, but you know, we'll go over low RF more in more detail next week. But I think you guys just generally get this. All right. So you're going to pick out, or both of you can pick out 10 and just pass them out to everybody?
Not ahead of time, just bringing them in.
No. Send them out ahead of time.
I'll send them out ahead of time.
Yeah, and but don't send out the scores.
Right.
I was going to ask how the statistics on something that could have a negative one, but you would just add one to everything and bump the scale over, so.
You could do that.
Comparisons, you know, and you have like a negative one, you can't really add that up.
Correlations you can certainly use.
But I mean, like, for something with me, I would just have to do a just plus one transformation to make them all positive. So that applies.
You could do that. All right.
Yep.
So this going well so far?
It's great.
This is the most complicated coding manual of the three.
Now, do you want us to send scores ahead of time?
Yes, we'll do that. All right, and then one of you send me the actual answers,
okay,
and I can correlate with the actual answers.
When did you want us to send them?
Tuesday, 10 p.m.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Because Chris was helping me start doing the stats for some of my stuff, and I actually have a lot of significance for a lot of good stuff.
Already?
Yeah, for the conceptual level. So I'm excited about that. But the other thing
between
is
between your two main categories.
Really? Yeah. And the direction I wanted, actually.
Yes.
No way.
So,
was it good?
Fuck you, Jack.
Well, you should be happy too.
And he helped me a lot with it. So, the only question I have is, I guess there was a recommendation from. I guess I can't get into much because I don't want to talk about it now. But from the proposal that Marshall wanted me to, instead of people identifying in one of those categories, to give a rating of each.
Yeah.
And I just kind of understand.
Did we do that?
I did that as part of the survey.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just in terms of understanding how to do the statistics.
Yeah.
For it. I'm not really.
Well, you know, categorically, I don't know what you did with them. T-tests?
We did.
ANOVAs, MANOVAs, post-hoc tests. Jeff, I picked this stuff up.
Yeah,
it gets going in here. I'm a machine, but.
In the proposal, you talk about doing MANOVA.
Okay. All right.
But
with the continuous, it's like really ordinal scale. You can do correlations, Pearson correlations.
Okay. So I was thinking, two being almost like my category and three neutral, four like my five most. I was wondering if I should be grouping like people who put fours and fives.
No, you're not grouping people. Each person has a score. Think of it as a score, like an IQ score.
But they're giving five ratings, five different ratings.
Yeah, so they have five different scores.
Right.
So you have five different correlations with whatever other variable you're looking at.
Oh, you look at before.
Okay.
So like five different correlations for each score on the mother, father, and self.
Yeah.
So each subject will have 15 correlations.
Okay.
Ha ha.
Well, we'll just see. I mean, Marshall's idea might not even pan out. So it's just interesting to see whether that, we might not even report it if it doesn't pan out.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm just trying to, I'm getting on top of the stat stuff now, and that,
yeah.
that stuff I was trying to, like, I didn't
know. So each, each ordinal scale represents its own variable. Think of it that way.
Can you even give a repeated measurement on them, or do all three of
them? Well, repeated measures is really only used when you're doing longitudinal studies.
Well, Blatt uses it with mother father and created a z-score called the concordance. I lost him slightly after that.
He did repeated measures?
He did a 2x2 repeated measure ANOVA with gender and mother father scale, got some type of score for them, converted it to a Z, then called it parent concordance, and published this wonderful but very complex statistic article.
What was the year?
2007.
Is that the one that you gave me?
Mm-mm. He reports part of it in his book, too.
Okay. I honestly don't know what repeated
is. It was a adolescent child article, but I had just been looking up.
Yeah, you might want to email him or find out who the stats person is on the list of authors, and then email that person.
He's the second author on it, but there's
okay,
just a
who's the first
himself.
Author? Zuroff?
No, Bestman. I don't know, but
you could ask him who the statistician
was. It
was
way too complicated. Yeah, it was like a 5-step type of procedure just to get the one instead of averaging.